Fantastic. All right, we're diving right into another study of one of Christ's parables. As you'll see, if the image didn't give it away, the text tells it so. It's parable of the sower. But we're going to look at this parable tonight. As I actually realized I had this one out of order. It was an old slide. But we focused last week on the tares and the dragnet. And now tonight we'll focus on the parable of the sower. Again, when we think about a parable, it's got its different levels of meaning. Just keeping that in mind. It's the figurative level, straightforward, the very literal level. These were used by Christ, again, to try to help people to understand. But them not wanting to understand, we understand they didn't from that. So we have this primary thought, again, that's been throughout a lot of these parables. You'll see it kind of translate from different parables. The change we'll see in later as we actually get through some more of the parables that we have left over through this study. This one, along with some of the ones that we've recently done, is this primary thought of the kingdom of heaven is like. We think about this in Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 9. As we break into this parable, we understand that in Matthew 13, 1 through 9, the parable of the sower begins. And if you want to turn there, we'll go ahead and start reading that. 1 through 9. And the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went to a ship and sat, and whole multitudes stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we have this parable that Jesus has just mentioned in Matthew 13, 1 through 9. If we look down in Matthew chapter 13 in verse 18 through 23, he explains that parable to us. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown into his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet has he no root in himself, but endures for a little while. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also bears fruit, brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So we have this parable of the different soils, the seed that's sowed on the different soils. And we actually have that same parable, and we won't read all three accounts of it, but there's one found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 3 through 9. The parable explanation of that is Mark 4, 13 through 20. The other account of that is found in Luke 8, 5 through 8. And then the explanation is also found in Luke 8, 11 through 15. So we understand as we break these parables down, we're looking at the different things about the parables to help us to understand more about it. So the parable, we understand there's sowers, right? We have a sower. Sowers are laborers. We understand that to us nowadays, this could be anyone that's a gospel preacher, a Bible teacher, someone who talks to his friend about Christ. They're sowing the word. Life truly is impossible without seed. And we see that all around us. Matthew chapter 9, in verse 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said unto he his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. The souls, essentially, are the plants, the crops. We think about John chapter 4 as we're laying down some of this groundwork here as well for our study. John 4 verses 34 through 38. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not you that there are 4 months and then comes harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit into life eternal. That both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to sow whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored. You are entered into their labor." Both will rejoice at the harvest. I think of Psalm chapter 24. Psalm 24 in verse 1. I had a lot of passages today. They're not going to be listed on the slides this evening. But if you do want any of these or want a copy of it, please get with me and let me know. Psalm 24 in verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We understand, where are we sowing? The earth is the Lord's. And then coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, laying down some foundation before we dive into the soils. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. "Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Christ will deliver the kingdom up after the harvest." And then 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5 through 11. When we look at this, the other examples, of, again, about sowers within the scriptures, laborers, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 11. "Who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid to the foundation, and another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." Laborers together, sowing seed, to establish what we're going to continue to learn about. Understanding, so we understand that there's some sowers, we understand there's some seed, and then we're going to get to the ground. Seed, as we know in this parable, is what we understand is the Word of God. It produces Christians. Jesus tells us exactly what the seed is. Luke 8, in that account there, in verse 11. The parable is this. The seed is what? The Word of God. Christ tells us what the seed is. And it produces Christians. We understand that from various passages throughout the scriptures. 1 Peter 1:23 about being born again. James 1 and verse 18. James 1:18, "Of his own will beget us he with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." 1 John 3 and verse 9. 1 John 3 and 9. "He that says he is to the light and hates his brother is in..." Oh, excuse me. 1 John 3 and verse 9. There we go. "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, and his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God." We understand that the seed saves our souls is in James 1 verse 21. We have this ground. So we have some sowers. We have some seed. Now we got a ground. We got various grounds that this parable talks about. We understand the ground is the hearts of men by thinking how the parable is explained. If y'all have questions or comments, please feel free to reach up. Sometimes I get focused on this. But we have our first ground here, wayside ground. In Mark chapter 4, I want us to understand something about this account. In Mark 4, verse 15. "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. We have plenty of examples about this in the scriptures. He who hears and does not understand. Birds came, ate them up. That's what we have in the first part of the parable. The explanation is Satan comes and takes them away. Examples of that inside about the wayside ground that Christ gives it to us is Ananias. We think about that in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Think about that with Ananias and Sapphira out there, how they just wanted to hold back a part of all that. They lied back to Peter, held back a portion of that they had. We think about Paul, or I think about Paul recounting his conversion. Oh, excuse me, actually I want to do this one first. Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 8, sorry. In verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, and beholding miracles and signs which were done. We understand that Simon the Sorcerer, and then drop down to verse 18 through 21. And when Simon had saw, through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered the money, saying, "Give me this also, this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said to him, "Your money perishes with you, because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. But you neither have part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." Again, in verse 22, "Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." This fell down. He thought that he could purchase something. He thought he wasn't understanding what the will of God was about. I think about Paul recounting his conversion there in Acts chapter 26. Turn with me there. Very common that we understand and know about. Acts 26 in verse 22. This is where Paul is talking about, after he's recounting his conversion, a very famous person that we all know about, Agrippa. And in verse 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God," the seed that was sown, right? He's recounting his conversion. He's trying to sow some seed. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying, none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself, much learning. Much learning doth make you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. And for this thing was not done in the corner. And King Agrippa, believe you the prophets? I know that you believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." I think about seed that was sown there. It fell on wayside ground. It was trampled hearts. I think about the wayside ground in itself. Whenever I looked up just trying to understand wayside ground, it was hard beaten paths that nothing grows on. Nothing takes root. Nothing takes soil worth growing in. So we see examples of that. The seed which was sown into King Agrippa, it was immediately taken away. He thought about it and just turned away from it. "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." Now we dive into a little bit of a rocky ground. The rocky ground that we have many examples. They received the word with joy, but it has no root. Eventually falls away. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 in verse 25 through 33. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, If any man..." Make sure I'm reading that. Luke 14, yeah, okay, 25. "And there went with him great multitudes with him, and turned and said to them, If any man comes to me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and even his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether it is sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he was able to with 10,000 meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is a great way off, he sends an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever be of you that forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. From the builder, he had zeal. No doubt to start the process. But he did not consider that. First off, he didn't consider the cost. He did not prepare. He received the word with joy, essentially. He received the thought about building with joy, but he didn't sit down to consider the cost. And whenever times got tough and he ran out, that was it. He gave up. Fell away. Couldn't finish. He didn't think. He didn't prepare. With zeal, he did not sit and think of the cost. So we understand he receives the word with joy, but has no root, becomes offended because of trials and tribulations, potentially falls away. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures, what, temptation? For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And in chapter 5, again, examples of rocky ground that the scriptures just give us. Chapter 5 and verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You have seen and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And I think about endurance to the end, right? That rocky ground. There are some that, again, receives the word of joy but has no root, can potentially fall away, can give up. That we talk about examples of those that do endure to the end as well. And we'll notice more about that with some of the good ground here. But I thought it as a nice compliment to the rocky ground to have those to help build us up. And I think about Matthew chapter 10 and 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that does what? Endures to the end. Shall be what? Shall be saved. Alright? Endurance. We understand that seed is sown. We understand that sometimes we sow seed. Sometimes seed is sown into us. We understand that there are many different people that we face within the world. They face the same thing too. Just as we do. And they encountered all sorts. Christ has told them about that. With this, you're going to sow seed. He's sow seed. Others that have come before you have sown seed. There is various types of people out there, and this is essentially things that help prevent the seed being sown as well as it could be. And to help identify, when we talk to people, when we're out there and we help identify, we can see those kind of people when we encounter them, because we're teaching and we're trying to continue to sow the same things for the kingdom of heaven, is understanding who we're talking to, what kind of potentially soul that we're dealing with at the same time. I know, Bill, as you talk about those that you talk about with work, and Ray, and I'm sure all of y'all have encountered those. Understand people that we talk to. And I think about rocky ground, Paul's in endurance as well. I think about endurance for this rocky ground. Coming back to that builder, he didn't prepare. He didn't have the zeal to sit and think about the cost. You know, they received joy with word, had no root. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Or 2 Timothy chapter 3, sorry. Very common passages in some of these with Paul and his endurance through some of these. We understand that he, at the beginning, he was persecuting the Christians. And the endurance that he went through after he had obeyed. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12. But you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I think in chapter 4, in verse 7 and 8, the very famous statement that, well, I fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. We have to endure. We have to help others to endure. Rocky ground is shaky. It receives the word with joy, but it has no root. And I think about the thorny. So we've dealt with the wayside. We've dealt with the rocky ground. We have two more grounds to go. We have thorny ground. This person hears the word, lets the cares of the world, the riches, choke the word so that he becomes unfruitful. Does not bear fruit. We must remember that we must not grow weary as well. I think about this. It's easy to get turned away. This world that we live in, of course, makes it very much easier. Everything is literally at our fingertips. We talk about that all the time. Between technology, between anything and everything, we live very plentiful, very blessed. We must not grow weary. The things that we are studying, the things that we are learning, the things that we are growing in, we must make sure that it goes on the type of ground where it's going to bear fruit, where it's going to take root. So, not growing weary. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, life everlasting. We must not grow weary. We must understand where we are sowing to and being sowed upon. James 4 and verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If we get choked by the fruits of the world, that does not put us or keep us in the right relationship with God.
I was going to say one thing too. I mean, if you look, we talked about this, I think, this past weekend, but in Matthew chapter 6, where he's talking about no one can serve two masters. And then he talks about the different various worries that people have, what they're going to eat, what they're going to put on, those kind of things. I mean, what we have to be careful about is not only, you know, the desire to be rich and all that, but get so caught up in our worldly concerns that it keeps us from being fruitful in the kingdom. I mean, we all know that we have to support our families and do all those things, but you can't allow yourself to get overwhelmed with all these details, and because of that, you don't spend the time that you should spend in the kingdom. Not that working for a living, any of those things. There's none of those things that they're in themselves bad, but it can't be the end of everything either. And so it's just, I think when we think about thorny ground, we think that's something that can affect all of us because all of us have concerns that we have responsibilities that we got to meet, and we just have to be careful that we don't get so overwhelmed in that we lose sight of the kingdom.
Lose sight or our root starts to go. Yeah, absolutely. Great point. Any other?
Yeah, I got a couple of things to say about that.
Yeah.
Anybody that's got a question about the kingdom of God, this plainly shows that it is in this world. The parable of the sower. And unlike the fruit that we would put in the garden, each one of us represents one of these grounds now. The older we are the ones that has bore fruit, bearing fruit. Some of us here are going through war with the world and the cares and chokings. And summer or even earlier, there's years of difference in between this. Not like a garden that comes in one year. There's years that come in between all this. That we have to be patient with the ones that we don't offend them because they ain't on our level. That we offend them, and we're the very ones that's run them off, and we done Saint John for.
It's sometimes it's hard to understand within ourselves as well the ground, but also noticing amongst the group of fellows and that are they're in this together, right? To that point, understanding
each one of us is in one of these grounds right now. Each one of us is in one of these grounds right now, and it depends in years.
Good point. Any others? Thank you. Moving on to as well, James. Oh, I already read that one. Coming back to what we were talking about there too, riches, not letting that keep you down. Mark chapter 10, in verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches, to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." It's not necessarily about being rich. It's about where your priorities are. Understanding that. Not letting it get you choked down. Riches can keep you down. Luke chapter 18 and verse 24. Luke 18 and 24. And when Jesus saw that, when he heard that, this is very sorrowful, he was very rich, talking about the young man there. Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful and said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven?" About the young certain ruler that asked him, "What shall he do to inherit eternal life?" And, you know, all those things he kept from his youth up, right? Understanding just the context there. "Yet one thing you lack, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor," right? We can't let those things, anything, get us down. Money's not always necessarily riches. Riches can be anything. It can be the bountiful things that we have around us. And anything that we let choke us down or keep us from doing what Ray was talking about earlier, from doing what's necessary for the kingdom, it can be worrisome, and it can take us away from what we need to be doing. We understand that Moses even overcame some of the things. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. "By faith, when he was to come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for his season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect of the recompense of the reward." He overcame the opportunity to, he turned down riches. He wanted to suffer with those. Now, I think about that with Moses. We in 1 Timothy 6 and 7 and 10. Yeah, make sure I keep my eye on time. And then moving on to the good ground. So we've had the three grounds here. Now we're moving on to that good ground. This good ground is what hears and understands, but it also bears fruit. This person hears the word. This person understands the word. And this person bears fruit by the word. James 3, 17 through 18. "But the wisdom that this is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." The word is sown in peace. Colossians 2 and verse 7. "Rooted and built up and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Good ground. It's rooted. It's built up. Brings forth good fruit. Colossians 1, 2 and 2 through 6. Good ground. It abides in Jesus. John 15, verse 4. We very, very passage right there, really good passage. 15 and verse 4. Excuse me. Yeah, 15 verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We understand that that's absolutely true. Without Christ, without the Word, without the kingdom of heaven, it's we can't sow anything. And then now that it's been revealed to us what we are continuing to sow and what kind of ground we should be sowing on and kind of ground we should be as well to be sowed, continues to produce fruits. And then I think about that God's word is sown into good ground, it will not return void. And that brings me back to Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11. For the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word does not return void back to him. Examples, again, of seed that fell on good ground. I think of Acts chapter 2, and verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. One verse right before one very commonly that we know, verse 38. When they heard this, right? Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and they said to Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And dropping down, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same were added to them, about 3,000 souls. That's a great example of the seed falling on good ground. They hear it, they understand it, they're off to bear fruit. Acts 8, in verse 35 through 38, we have with Philip and the eunuch. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 5, as we get ready to close here. I had a lot of passages tonight, and I didn't know if I'd be able to get through some of them, so sorry again if I move through a little fast. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that of the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's bearing fruit. They continue to sow, they continue to lay upon that good ground. Application today. I think about what kind of ground are we? Remember the barren fig tree. Remember the parable that we just did. Only ones who bear fruit are pleasing to God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. We must bear good fruits for the harvest. Matthew 5 and verse 8. To be pure in heart. In Luke chapter 11 verse 28. Hear and keep the word. James 5 and 7 through 11. I want to read that. James 5, 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, till he receives the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, but lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, and for example of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. And in verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. Have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Run with endurance. Hebrews 12 and 1 through 2. And then as we give as an invitation every Sunday, every time the message is preached, every time the seed is sown, hear, believe, for those to repent, to confess, to be baptized, and to be faithful. Colossians 1:23 there at the end. We have examples of seed. We have examples of sowing. We have examples of ground to fall on, examples of also what kind of ground not to let ourselves be, but also those that we will endure and find throughout the world. So just, again, explaining the parable here, finishing off, but that brings us to the close of this. So is there any other comments, questions? Thank you.